Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hi, everybody. This is Trista, and today I'm solo. Bob couldn't make it. He is traveling today, and he was trying to make it work. He, I think, just got to the airport or is going to the airport and didn't want to interrupt the interview by jumping out of his car and going inside and going through TSA. So he can't make it today. I'm really sad. We miss you, Bob, but I'm really excited about our guest. We've got Deanna Pappas. She is one of my longtime Bachelor friends. Well, really kind of my sister in Bachelor family. And I'm really excited to talk to her today. So, Hannah, will you please bring Deanna in? Hi, beautiful.
Hi.
So for everyone listening, it was Deanna's birthday. Happy, happy birthday. What did you do?
41 years young.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to keep telling myself that, but I have to tell you. So we just had Brad on, well, which we'll get it. Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh my God, how was that?
It was great. He is just one of the nicest people. Just so sweet. And it was great to talk to him. Just, obviously we can go into it. Huh?
I'm surprised he did the podcast.
I know. Shocking, right? He does not do this stuff. Like, no, he is not on any social media whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, has never been on it before. So, yeah, we were really excited to talk to him.
Is he married
yet? Doesn't. Nope, he's dating someone. And it seems like they're serious-ish. Like, they've talked about kids, but I don't know. Oh, wow. I don't know. We'll see. Verdict's out. And honestly, we might not even know if he ever gets married because he's not on social.
We can't keep up with him in any way whatsoever. So.
No, oh, he's kind of like...
I'm so glad to hear he's doing well. I saw that Harrison posted a photo last week of the two of them together. Yeah. Having lunch or something like that. And I just thought, it's just really great. It's good to see him, you know, and people still keeping in touch with him, you know.
Yes.
I'm glad he's doing well. Yeah.
Yes, of course. It was great to talk to him. You know, I know you're like me and we don't wish our exes any bad juju, but
yeah, no,
you know, yeah, I mean, he's a great guy. I have nothing but love for him. So anyway, I was going to bring up, so Brad's birthday, my 50th, as you know, was at the end of October, and Brad's 50th was November 10th. And so he was talking about kind of the same vibe, like, oh yeah, it's just a number or whatever. And I'm sorry. I love that everyone's saying that. And I know, listen, I get it. It's better than the alternative of not having a birthday. I understand that, but I just don't like it. I don't like aging.
You know what, sister, you're funny. You have never liked getting older.
No, ever.
You know what I mean? You do this every year.
I know.
We do our group text and we're wishing everyone a happy birthday. You do this every year. You do not like to get older. And that's okay. A lot of people are that way. And right with that means a lot of things because we are human, right? And that comes with a lot of changes. And for women in particular, physical changes. And those things are hard to like look at ourselves differently or see our bodies changing or wrinkles or gray hair or all of the things. It's hard to do those things, embrace those things and feel good about those things. Do you know what I mean? Gaining weight, everything changing. Like it's hard to still be positive with those things because you still want to feel really beautiful. But honestly, I'm with Brad, like 41, I feel pretty good. You know,
good.
I don't know that I would ever go back to my
25. Right.
I would go back to that body any day.
Right? No, honestly.
I would take that anytime, but like.
Totally. No,
like as a person emotionally and like my mental well-being and just being more secure in who I am at this age, you know, with that comes like, hey, it is not about how many friends you have. It's about the quality of the few that you do have.
And 100%.
And like, I don't know that I understood that when I was younger, you know?
So. Right, right. No, I have a lot of conversations with Blakeslee about that because, and pardon me for having a hot flash right when you were talking about aging.
I was in therapy yesterday on my birthday. I went to therapy, which is A for sanity. People are like,
that's right.
Your birthday. And I was like, yeah, a little birthday sanity. I need it.
Hey,
sitting in there, and it was, I swear to God, halfway through, it was like sweating. And I was like, I'm sorry. Do you have the heat on? Why is it 105 degrees in here? And she goes, well, you are 41. And I was like, holy.
Ah, damn it. Damn it.
Smokes. Is this really happening?
I mean, is that the first one you've ever had?
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was really hot in there, in my defense.
She just was fine with it. They are not fun. But, you know, the physical stuff is not fun to deal with. But I will say just feeling older in terms of my body and what I can do is such a bummer. Like, I hate being in pain, like having back pain or knee pain, or my body just doesn't work as well.
A tough year too.
Yeah.
You know, just health-wise in general, both you and Ryan, like those things are just tough. And it is a rude awakening to realize that we just don't bounce back as quickly as we used to.
Totally. That is such a downer to me because I used to like, hey, I'd, you know, go whatever, not work out and eat whatever I wanted. And then I'd be like, go back to the gym. And 2 weeks later, I'd be right back where I started. Not anymore. Even if I go like 2 days, which I never do. If I did 2 days at the gym, it would still take me like 6 months at least.
I never do.
You don't ever work out?
I mean, a little bit.
My gosh. How?
But listen, come on. I've gained like 15 pounds. Like I'm the heaviest that I've ever been in my entire life. I can't tell you the last time I've seen my six pack, but like, I just, but I guess I'm kind of just in this place of where just like
acceptance.
I just want to get like my mental health and my emotional well-being together. Yeah. And like, I just do what feels good right now. And if that means I work out, then that's great. If I don't work out, then I'm totally fine with that too. If I go to and I don't work out, you know, sometimes that's okay. All right.
Right.
I'm just doing what feels good. I'll get out and walk a lot. I do enjoy that.
Yeah.
I enjoy to get out and walk my dog and listen to a podcast. So I do try to at least do that. But like, yeah. I mean, really, at the end of the day, I had two martinis at dinner last night and I feel like I need a nap. Like for the next
week. That too. Like alcohol. We don't drink a lot of alcohol, but still when we do, I feel it. Even if I have a glass of wine at night, I feel like a little sluggish the next day. It's not bad, but
no, I like want to go back to bed right now.
Well, you're not allowed. We're going to talk for a little bit longer. but I do you know, I love that you are in a place of acceptance and happiness and doing what feels right for you. That's what everyone should do. And even when you're younger, like I was about to say with Blakeslee, I have had so many conversations because she is a teenager talking about quality of friendship in as opposed to quantity. Like it is so much more important to surround yourself with people who lift you up rather than just having the numbers. You know, we talk about that constantly. And I think it is a hard learning lesson. Even at 50, I feel like there are definitely times when I get, I'm sad because I feel left out of something or, you know, but everyone has families and their own, you know, lives. And it's just hard these days. People are busy. People are busy.
Yeah. I think the other like hard lesson, I mean, I'm trying to implement this with my own children, but it's been a hard lesson for me in the last probably year and a half in particular is on the same concept of how many people, right? How many friends you have. It's not the quantity, right? It's the quality. And I think that it is so important to be truly and fully loved wholly and authentically for who you truly are. Do you know what I mean? The good and the bad, right? Because we all have good and bad and we're all a product of how we were raised.
Yeah.
And no one is perfect. And you know, we have strengths and we have weaknesses and it's truly important to be around and surround yourself with people who fully love you for who you are authentically, wholly, right? We're children of God and he loves us as broken as we are. That should be done. And if you are not being surrounded by those kind of people, you need to reevaluate your situation and your friendships. And I'm all right with that. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
People who are willing to put on the boots and walk through the shit. Like those are the kind of people I want. Those are the kind of people I want to be friends with because that's the kind of person I am. I am loyal to my fault and I love so truly deeply that that's just who I am. Like that's the kind of friend I am and that's the kind of friends that I want. And that is so important. And I want that for my children. I want that for anyone, you know?
Same. It has to be, it's very intentional. Like I feel like the word of the last couple of years has been intentional. Like, you know, focus your intentions on those who do lift you up and who support you and accept you and all of those things. So, yeah, love you for that loyalty.
Building relationships and refinement. That's what it is, right?
Yeah.
We're not meant to make other people happy. That's not what we're meant to do. Relationships, and I mean across the board, marriage, you know, significant others, friendships, it's about refinement. It is not about making someone happy or changing someone. It's about refinement.
Totally. And I feel like these days I am just trying to get through it. Like you know what I mean? Like there are times when, like yesterday, for example, I got my hair done, you know, go into the hair salon.
Your hair looks so good today.
Oh, thanks. Oh, thanks.
Beautiful.
So I go and I get my hair done and it's always a day that Ryan hates because I am gone for so, I mean, you know, as a woman, well, you probably don't because you get a little highlights, but you don't have to do anything because you have gorgeous hair and probably not a lot of gray.
This must be where they start, right? Underneath here. This is
great. Yes. Or just right at the top, there's like a
bing, like one little wire gun that picks up. Yeah. No, I have started coloring them because that was a
yes.
I was like, where are all these coming from? What is
happening? Stress? Uh-huh. Yeah. Life. Anyway, so I was gone most of the day, and he hates the day. And of course, I get home later on in the day. And this is, of course, after I go pick Blakesley up, and I from a friend's who she had a sleepover with, like all these things, you know, right? Went to the gym, come home, and I'm like, do you want to do anything? And he's like, I just want to hang out with my wife, you know, like.
I've been gone all day getting all beautiful.
I know. I'm like, you know what? Some days I just got to have a me day and put time in. I'm sorry that I can't be around 100% of the time to make you happy. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes I just got to take some time for me. So, yeah, it's so true. 100% yeah.
Unapologetic.
We got to do it. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so tell me about what's going on in your life lately. I know you do the podcast with Jessica. Are you blogging still? I know you're flying. So tell me what's going on.
I have not been doing any of those things.
You haven't? No, no. Yes, you. Well, you did fly recently. I know you went.
I am still working quite a bit, and I feel really lucky to work for one family in particular who I just genuinely love. I've been with them for a really long time, and they're really good to me, and they're really good to my family.
Yeah. Tell everyone what you do, though, because I don't think everyone knows.
I know. Everyone is always so shocked to hear that right. I have a real job. And I'm like, well, I am a real person.
Right.
I think that is fascinating when people write me on social media, like if I post that I have been flying or whatever, I still get people who email me or, DM me and say, wow, you work? And I'm like,
how could I not? There are bills.
Bills around right. here. Like, who pays the mortgage? I don't know if you know right. the cost of living in the state of California, but it is really high.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
Yeah, I am a corporate flight attendant. I have done it. And for those who don't know, it means private aviation. I work in private aviation. I can't imagine working for Delta, passing out peanuts and pretzels.
Right. Awesome. Especially coming from where you're coming from.
It'd be awesome, Addison.
Maybe she'll follow in mommy's footsteps one
yeah,
day.
So I work in private aviation, and I like the freedom of it because I genuinely am a foodie. I like to cook, and the people
yes,
that I work for will taste anything that I make. So I get to cook and do that in flight, which I really appreciate. And then also the whole concept of being able to travel and stay in a hotel and go places that I want to go all by myself.
Yeah.
It's really great too.
Yeah.
So I have done that for, 11 years now. 11 years. I had some friends
amazing.
Who, I had like this transitional period of time after I did the Bachelorette where I really wasn't sure what to do with my life.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah. It's weird because you're a normal person, but you're also put in this place where it's hard for you to do normal things, you know?
Yes.
So yeah. I couldn't do real estate anymore because I just had strange people who wanted to hang out with me and were utilizing my time.
Yes.
To get to meet me and pretend to buy a house. You know what I mean? And then it just wasn't
right.
safe for me to go out alone
right.
and show houses anymore. So that was hard because I was still pretty young and I mm-hmm. was really good at it. And I just didn't mm-hmm. know what to do. So, and then as you know this, Trista, with the opportunities that come after the Bachelorette,
yeah.
I got to do really cool things. Like I got
right.
to work on the red carpet and I hosted a television show and I got to go to Iraq twice and Afghanistan twice to visit the troops and just opportunities that I really enjoyed and that I didn't want to turn down. So then there
yeah.
was this period of time where I was like, oh, do I want to continue a life in television? Like, what do I want to do at 30
yep.
years old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the concept of people willing to go over whoever they could to get on top.
Yes.
And I couldn't
right.
get past that because at my core, I am not that person. And
yeah.
I didn't want to compete for that.
You yes.
know, like I just wanted to feel full and I wanted to be happy and I wanted to have a career that I enjoyed. I would
yeah.
like to make some money. You know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with the competition or walking into every E! News audition and sitting there with four other bachelorettes, you know,
oh,
whoever was
yes.
the most popular at the time got the job.
Right.
You know, it didn't matter how
right.
good we were. It was whoever was
yeah.
popular at the time. And so
totally.
I just didn't like how it made me feel and where it was going. So
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that I don't still do things like that. If something really awesome falls into my lap, then I will still take those opportunities, but it has to feel right for me. And it has to feel right for my family.
Of course.
But it wasn't a career I pursued anymore. So I had some friends who were in the business and were willing to turn in my application for me. And before the bachelorette, I had had a long history in service industry, and that's really all I am. I'm a glorified server in the air. And also I
love it, but it's how fun. Yeah.
So I like really enjoy it. So I've been working a lot, long story short, I've been working a lot and traveling, which takes up a lot of time. And then I'm finding that when I'm away and I come home, I really just want to soak up my time with my family. So it's hard to squeeze in those other things where I really enjoy the creative pieces of blogging. I still have my website, but I haven't done anything in a really long time. And the podcast too, we're just on a break. I'm not really sure what's happening there. And I kind of feel free without it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. That's what happened to me.
Yeah. And we recorded down in Beverly Hills. So, you know, I enjoyed it. I don't know. I'm in a bit of a transitional phase. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. But yeah, as much as I travel, then when I come home, I want to spend all of my time with the kids. And that comes down to even like, you know, social media stuff. Like I really kind of have veered away from doing any kind of like paid post because they're just not worth my time.
Yeah.
Or my effort. And I'm kind of like, my goal.
And it takes a lot of time.
Yeah. My goal is to be an influencer. That's not my goal. That never has been my goal. Like
no.
I have no problem sharing, you know, products or things that I truly feel good about or like passionate about. Like I don't do it just for the paycheck. I'm not willing to sell my life for a paycheck. Like that's not who I am.
Bingo. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I'm just like, I'm trying to figure myself out again.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
Like a self help journey. I'm definitely like reading all of the books. I don't know if I'm going to show you this. I bought some of these for my girlfriend. For my girlfriends, I follow this girl on Instagram.
How We Heal. Instagram. Okay.
Yeah. And she is like a self-help like account, but she, you know, anyway, I totally got like, what do they call it? What do the kids call it these days? TikToked?
TikTok.
I got an ad.
What do the kids call it?
You know what I mean? But it's a self-help book and it's a self-healing book. And she posts a lot of, inspirational things on Instagram. And so I started following her a long time ago and really
love it.
The stuff that she put out. So I think that's where I'm at. I'm on a bit of a self-healing journey.
You know what? I think that's awesome. I
don't really like that.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love that you are willing to talk about it openly and say, you know what, I want to make sure my life is a quality, I'm having a quality life, you know, and why not go on a self-help journey? I've always felt like it was so interesting that people don't talk about when they, because I'm an open book, you know that. Like, if I'm having
also,
a bad day.
Mental health in general has just been so taboo for a long time. And yes. Also, I think that kind of transitioned right around the COVID time where so many people were struggling. People either thrived or they were a mess. Do you know what I mean? We thankfully thrived during COVID. I loved nothing more than being locked in my house with Stephen and our kids. Like, it was one of the best years of my life. Like, I loved it. It was the first time ever that we were home at the same time and got to have dinner every single night with our children. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I loved not having to overcommit myself and go anywhere or do anything and just be able to be with my kids every single night. I loved that. But I realized it was not that for a lot of people. So mental health and mental health awareness and suicide prevention, all of that has been brought to such a light in the last couple of years, whereas it was so taboo to talk about before, like, hey, I'm struggling mentally. I'm struggling right now in this space. And I so appreciate people who are not scared to say that right now. And I'm not like, I pretty pride myself on the fact that I've always been an open book. Like, I don't really have a lot to hide. There are obviously things that I keep close to my heart. And when I'm ready, I will share things.
Yeah.
But that's how I process. But like, we all have pieces of trauma. Now, whether it was like big pieces of trauma or little pieces of trauma. Myself, I've been through a lot of trauma. My mom died when I was really young, and that is hard. That causes deep-rooted abandonment issues. Like, I'm pretty self-aware of the things that I carry, and I'm at a place where I want to like fine-tune those things, and I want to work on those things. Like, write myself to be the best version of myself.
Yeah,
I keep saying this authentically for who I am.
Yes,
and I truly understand that I have my things too. Like, I can be really loud, and I can shy away from conflict. I do not. I'm pretty smart, and I can handle myself. And I believe in the things, and I'm passionate about the things that I believe in. And you know, and like, I have a daughter now. You know this, Trista. Like, I want a strong young woman who is not afraid to stand up for what she believes in. And knows her self-worth and is proud of herself.
Yeah.
That is important to me. So
for sure.
self-awareness journey. Here I am.
I love it. I honestly think that we all should be on a self-awareness journey all the time. I'm an open book too. I've shared many conversations with you about how I'm having a bad time or a bad day or whatever's going on. And it always is shocking to me when other people don't, like, you know what I mean? And maybe not shocking.
You don't have to do this alone, Trista.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's okay if you're having a bad day. It's okay if you feel fat. It's okay.
Totally.
Unworthy. It's okay if you have those things, but the whole point is that we are not meant to do this alone.
Right.
I mean, across the board, life in general, we are not meant to do this alone. We are meant to have community, and you should be able to lean on those people, your friends, your family, your husband, whoever that is. You should be able to lean on those people and be your true authentic self. And that means if you're having a bad day or you're having terrible thoughts about your own self, your body, your emotions, or turning 51 or whatever that is, like, you should be allowed to voice that, and you should feel heard, and you should feel supported.
Right. No, agreed. And then back to the influencer stuff. Like, I feel the same way. I will scroll on Instagram, but I don't post as much just because I feel like it is so consuming in terms of time and energy and a lot of negativity. And so I don't spend as much time as I used to. I mean, I, like you, if there's authenticity when it comes to posting, you know, doing campaigns with companies and helping them get the word out about their companies, I'm all for it. But it can't just be a paycheck for me. Like, I remember Blakeslee, maybe she didn't say it, but it was kind of insinuated that she'd want to be an influencer. And I was like, no.
That's about the time it hit me too. When I caught Addison recording videos of herself on the iPad going, "Hey guys,
that's I know."
I was like, Nope.
This will not be a goal. Like, if you, I feel like both of us landed in it, you know, it wasn't around when we were on The Bachelorette. And so it wasn't like we're like Caitlin or Hannah, where it's so like 2 million people
from that.
Yes. Yes.
Wasn't, I think Twitter launched the day that my season of The Bachelorette was done airing.
Really?
So
really?
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to live in that era. And I always think this too, and I'm sure you can sympathize with this, with some of the newer women who go on the show.
Yeah.
I wasn't followed by a paparazzi. I didn't feel this innate pressure to physically be a certain size or a certain shape or a certain hair color. Like, I didn't feel that because There weren't paparazzi hiding in Noonan, Georgia. Like, I went back to my home. My intentions were never to go on a show and become a famous person. That was not
totally
as stupid as it sounds. And I say this over and over again, every time I talk to somebody or in every interview, I went on the show for the right reasons.
Right.
I genuinely wanted to find love.
Same.
Stupid as it sounds.
It's not stupid.
Well, some people look at that like it's stupid because the girls are making lots of money now. They get lots of things. And I didn't ask for any of those things.
Because it wasn't a thing back then. It wasn't a thing.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will say, though, we did have paparazzi following us, and I had people knocking on our door. People found our house, and I remember a mother and a daughter, they showed up at my door with a magazine, like wanted to get, yeah, it was like, that's wait, how did you, I know. I was like, how did you find my address? Yeah. Immediately called the phone company, take my number off. Like, not that we had already done that.
No, but it's just, and especially now with children too, it is a source of protection.
Like, yes.
I try to be. Live a very normal life. And, you know, right. I don't know if you feel the same, Trista. It's always, it's always very flattering when someone still recognizes you from the
right.
show. It is yes. very flattering. I am always very happy when people see me in the grocery store.
Yes.
No makeup, looking like a hot mess, and are not afraid to come up and say hello. I
totally
appreciate that.
Yes, agreed.
Say, oh my gosh, I enjoyed watching your season. I like following you on social media. It's so nice to meet you. Like, I will absolutely hug you, say it's nice to meet you too.
Totally.
It kind of throws me through a loop when I'm seen like at school or something at school pickup and
uh-huh.
something has happened to my kids.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea. Addison's just now at the age where she's like, somebody told me you were on TV, you know, like, but they don't know.
They don't know. You haven't told them.
Well, they know that, I mean, Austin could care less. Like, he's literally playing Zelda.
Same as Max.
Right now. Yeah. He like yes. does not care. They yeah. recognize certain things. Like when we've had film crews at the house to film.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like we watch it. The only thing that happened was when Netflix released, it was The Bachelor and Bachelorette, but they released a couple of seasons and someone told me about it. And it was like, there was a screen cap above the season of me kissing Jason Mesnick. And Addison was like, who's that man? And why are you kissing him and not my daddy? And I was like, this is, how do I explain this?
Oh my gosh, right?
You know, so I just, I do, if she asks, I don't, like she got in the car a couple weeks ago from school and she goes, Mommy, why didn't you tell me you were famous? And I was like, I started laughing first off, Krista, because you know me and you know me well. I was like, first off, I am not famous.
You're right.
I'm not famous. And second off, why are you asking that? She goes, oh, well, someone told me at school. And I was like, well, who told you at school? That's strange. And she was like, I don't know. Somebody told me at school that their mommy saw her at school. And their mommy told me that she was on TV and you guys are famous. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like so there's a couple of things I immediately feel a little guarded.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because there is a piece of, and I'm sure you can relate to this. There's a piece of going on the show where people think they know who you are.
Oh, yes.
Really know who you are. Do you know what I mean?
They saw 100%
of me, a television show that millions of people watched, but it doesn't mean that they truly know me. So I've actually found, like, in my adult life that I tend to be pretty guarded. If someone comes out of the gate and says, oh my gosh, I saw you on The Bachelorette, I totally watched your season, I immediately become guarded.
Yeah.
I feel like, A, I can't be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right? I can't be who I truly am because these people have this preconceived notion of who they think I am.
Yeah, right. And there's social media. So if they take a picture or if they take a video and you have resting bitch face and you're not smiling ear to ear.
I'm a raging bitch. And
exactly.
So, like, to each their own. Again, I'm just trying to make me happy. Like, I'm just trying to please me. So there's that. And then this is a quick, funny story. Well, I started on this tangent because you had texted me and asked if I was watching Bachelor in Paradise. And like, this is why I'm not, because I have no free time. I would like to watch Bachelor in Paradise. I do really enjoy it.
Yeah. But
I have not been able to watch this season at all because I just don't have a lot of free time. And I go to bed at 8 o'clock when I put my kids to bed. So there's that. But
good for you.
Yeah. I like a solid 12 hours a night.
Asleep. Yes. Amazing.
There was a situation that happened a couple weeks ago where we have a cleaning lady. She comes every 2 weeks, and it's been one thing that Stephen and I don't ever fight about is keeping the house clean. So I will willingly pay for it.
Yeah. But,
like, I work full time too. I don't have time to clean the house. It is money well spent to me.
Yeah.
She's been with us and cleaning our home for several years, like 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that you could change your Venmo to be private so that people can't see, you know, your pay history or whatever.
Oh, yes, right.
So I didn't know that. It's changed now. But so I sent her a Venmo to pay her one time for cleaning my home. And then like 2 weeks later, she was over and they were kind of laughing, her and another girl. And I was like, what are you laughing at? And they were like, well, we found out you were on TV. And I was like, that's so weird. How? And she goes, well, another woman's house that I clean.
Oh, saw your Venmo.
House. And I was like, oh God, how would she know that? And she was like, I don't know. But she asked me if I cleaned your house. And then she was asking me things like, do you have a nice house? Are you a nice
person? Oh my gosh.
And I was like,
yikes.
Wrong. I was like, well, hopefully you didn't tell her. And she was like, no, I just told her that you guys are great and your kids are great. And like, you're really nice people. But like, this woman said, will you give her my number so that we can hang out and
have yikes.
Like,
oh. Really? Oh my, that is bold, like kind of over the, not even kind of, over the line bold.
Yeah, I literally was like, no, please don't give out my phone number.
Or you will be fired.
Yeah. So anyway, she was really nice about it.
Good.
And she was like, no, this woman is really nice too. You know, blah, blah, blah. She's a fan of the show that you were on. And I was like, yeah, I totally get that. I understand that. I get that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just, you know, then I go into that place where I'm immediately guarded. You know
what I mean? Yes,
yes. Okay, well, now I can't be me. I can't be who I truly am.
Right. So are you thinking of hiring someone else? Is it that, like, because I can imagine that. Okay, good.
No, I love her and she does such a great job and I trust
good.
Her.
yeah, totally. Fine. You've used her for 5 years. I just was like,
please don't tell people where I live. So
100%.
Like on Venmo, that's how she found out that she cleaned our home.
Crazy.
It was public on Venmo that I had paid.
Yes.
And I guess she went to Venmo her and then she saw in the pay history that like I have recently Venmoed her. And so she's like, oh my gosh, you know her? And
okay, I am doing that like immediately after I get off the phone. I'm making it private.
Caitlin was like, oh my God, let's change your Venmo to private right now so people can't see those things. So
yeah, there's no reason that anyone needs to know that I'm paying my daughter's friend's mom for snacks.
For pizza.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. I know you're not doing the podcast anymore, but, or you're kind of on a little break, but I'd love to hear, I know you guys basically just shared everything. Like there was lots of laughter. Is there one story that stands out that you can share with us from the podcast? It's called Flashbacks, people, by the way, if you want to go back and listen.
It is a lot of fun. I will tell you that, like, I like that it is a really lighthearted show. We will address. I am definitely more of a serious person than Jessica. Like she's just a lot of fun. Like she likes to hear like old fun stories. She wants to hear your drunkest stories. She wants to hear when you fell down at a club. Like she wants to hear those things.
Yes.
I do like to have fun and I am a funny person, but I just am more, I just like genuinely want to be who I am. So if I go in and I'm in a bad mood or whatever, then I feel like that's okay to talk about. And I also think that people appreciate that about me, that I'm not fake in any way, shape or form. So
totally.
I'm trying to think because we've had a lot of really fun guests on and we've heard a lot of really fun stories, but there was early on, there was this woman named Jessie, I think her name was, and Jessica knew her from the Playboy Mansion. They had, I think, posed years ago or something like that. That's how I knew each other. But we got to laughing because she told us a story about how, for some reason, everybody always had a Leonardo DiCaprio story. So like this girl in particular, she waits until the very end of the podcast. And the podcast was a bit serious at the time. And we talked about her health. She had just some health stuff going on. And at the very end, we're like, okay, well, tell us like your favorite flashback. We do that like towards the end. Like, do you have a flashback? So hers, we said, do you have a favorite Hollywood flashback of like your time in LA? And she was like, oh yeah, I went to this club one time and then I slept with Leonardo DiCaprio and I'm pretty sure he might be my son's father. And we were like,
what?
I'm sorry. You just went this whole hour on this podcast without telling us that you slept with Leonardo DiCaprio. Which was,
and you think he's your baby daddy.
In his prime, you know what I mean? It was about 20 years ago.
Oh.
And you now have a son who looks oddly a lot like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Did you ever follow up with her or did Jessica ever talk to her afterwards and see if she did a paternity test?
No. I think she was like quasi-joking, but she's one of those people like you can't tell if she's joking or not. You know what I mean?
Yes, right.
She was like, she's like 6 foot and she's like blonde and beautiful and does yoga.
Yes.
But I started following her on social media and she'll post pictures of her son. And I'm literally like, oh my God, he totally he could be Leonardo DiCaprio's son. Like he's about that age where like this could have happened around the same time. So anyway, we got to laughing so hard because it seemed like every time we had a guest on,
yes,
someone had a story of Leonardo DiCaprio. Like everyone had a story of Leo. And so like we just got to the point where we started laughing. We were like, Leo, we would just like die.
I love it.
Do you have a good flashback, Trista, from Hollywood? Oh my. You must have some really
I was literally just going to ask you the same question. I'm like, well, wait, okay, tell me. This woman was talking about Leo. I want to know if you've ever run in, like you live in LA, so I want to know if you ever run into any famous people or if you ever run into bachelor people.
I don't run into bachelor people a lot.
You don't?
I don't live like in Hollywood.
I know, but still. No, or even when you're traveling. Either. Like, I know you were just in New York. Like, did you see anyone there? You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh,
You did.
The first night there, my pilots and I were going to dinner. We went to this really yummy Italian restaurant. Next time you're in the city, I'll have to let you know.
Oh, tell me. Phenomenal.
I had lamb bolognese that I like to eat. And I was literally like, this is the best thing I've ever had. Like, it was the best thing I've ever had.
Oh, yum.
I made bolognese, and I was like, This is life changing. We were walking.
You're making me hungry.
And it was really cold. And sure enough, and you know, it was funny because people will say this to me too. Like, oh, I didn't see you at first, but I could recognize your voice. I knew your voice.
Yes.
We were walking down and we were in the financial district and we were walking down to the restaurant. And then sure enough, I heard her say, thanks guys. And I turned and looked and it was Ellen Pompeo
from Grey's Anatomy.
From Grey's Anatomy.
Yes, love
and
her.
And she had just announced that she was leaving Grey's.
Right.
So as soon as I saw her, I turned and looked and I was like, and she was like just getting out of her car and walking into a hotel. She was like, thanks guys. Like totally normal. No one around. No one saw.
Yes.
Like,
right.
I love Grey's Anatomy. I didn't say anything.
I love you. You didn't say anything. You didn't say hi?
No.
Yeah.
But I saw her. Sometimes when I fly, you know, it's because we're not allowed to say anything. So I'm not.
Right. Of course not.
But I've flown some really big celebrities and I don't get starstruck a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because the industry that we're in and, you know,
right.
LA all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not one of those people that get starstruck, but I saw Jay-Z one time.
And I was like, that would be big.
Holy smokes, it's Jay-Z.
Right.
And then in my head the whole time as he's standing there, I kept going, New York. I was like singing his song in my head, and I couldn't carry on a conversation. I was like,
oh my gosh. Okay, you just reminded me of a really fun flashback that I do have. Okay, so I was dancing for the Miami Heat, and huge basketball fan, huge Michael Jordan fan, like huge Michael Jordan fan. And I was sitting, so at that point in time, we sat on the court. Now they don't sit on the court anymore, probably because we got stepped on so many times. Yeah, but
he's a grown, huge basketball player.
Yes, exactly. With really big feet. So we were on the court.
You know and what they say we were, about men with big feet?
You know what they say.
They stomp hard.
They have big shoes.
Don't be dirty.
So, sitting across from the opposing team, not the Heat, but the opposing team, and they happened to be the Washington Wizards is who he was playing for at the time. It was Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan was sitting right across from me, like right across from me. And I realized that I was staring at him. Well, he turns and we lock eyes, right? And you just reminded me that when you started singing New York with Jay-Z like around, this is similar to what I did. So we lock eyes and we are staring at each other. And it probably wasn't for that long, but you know when you're in an eye lock, it seems like forever.
Yeah.
Like it seemed like we were staring
away.
I couldn't look away. I was like, Michael Jordan is staring at me. Like I literally can't look away. And after we were staring at each other for, I would say a good, like, maybe like 10 seconds, which is a long time.
A long time to be staring at one another.
And maybe it was less because I felt like it was longer, but I said, I mouthed the words, Michael Jordan. Like,
while you were looking at him?
Yes. It's like you say, singing New York, New York, like with Jay-Z, like, okay, yeah, that's my song. So, you know, like I'm staring at Michael Jordan and I don't say, call me or meet me after. I love you. Or I say his freaking name.
And just staring, locked eyes, and you go,
Michael Jordan. How stupid am I? This is so stupid. I mean,
the trajectory of your life could have changed.
I was literally just going to say that. Oh my gosh, you're so right. Like, had I met, like, if I said, meet me after, you know, maybe he would have met me after and maybe we would have gotten into this love affair. Probably not. But you know, it totally could have changed the trajectory of my life. But that's my fun flashback.
Krista Jordan.
Yeah. Can you imagine? 5'2" and however tall he is.
It would be, what's that movie with Danny DeVito? Oh, yes. And the other guy's really tall. Like, that's
Giants or something. Or brothers. What was it? Well, something like that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's so funny.
I got hit on by Michael Keaton one time.
You did?
Yeah. Pretty early on. Like, right after The Bachelorette. He was like, let me take you out. And I was like, I am engaged. Like, see the
You're like, hello.
Engaged. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he literally was like, you could wear it or not, but let me take you out.
OMG, yeah. Michael Keaton.
I'm so uncomfortable right now, but flattered. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. Well, I love talking to you. We could talk all day. I miss you and happy birthday and give the kids a big hug for me. I am so thankful that you joined us. And Bob, I do have to say, Bob was very sad.
Bob was harassing me and he's not even here today.
I know. He's traveling and he wrote, he texted our group text with the producers and stuff that he was going to be in a car probably getting out at the time that we were doing it. And he just didn't want to interrupt the interview. So he sends his love and he wishes he was here. I wish he was here too. But we had lots of fun chatting. So we miss you, Bob. Next time.
Next time, Mr. Guinea.
That's right.
Well, happy birthday, sister. I hope you have a great time on your trip.
Thank you. I wish you could come. 51
is wonderful. You're doing great.
50. No, 50.
50, I mean. I'm 41. Sorry, that's where the confusion came from.
Yes, it's all good.
I'm also mentally saying this to myself. 49 is great. 50 is great, Trista. You're doing great, girl.
41 is great. 41 is great. That's my mantra. 41 is great. No. You too. Right back at you. Love you. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.